This is Plus Money Golf on the Patriot Sports Network. A golf betting podcast that's
better than most.
What he said.
How about him? That is better than most. Better than most.
And now, here are your hosts, Adam, Smitty, and Eric.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Plus Money Golf on the Fantasy Sports Corp Network, where all we do is win, win, win. We're live on all formats tonight. Last week, we didn't have a show because Smitty almost died. So I did post my picks from last week, a screenshot, and just to prove that I actually did pick. But in both tournaments, I picked winners last week.
Goddamn. Yeah.
Rory at 650 and Chris Goddard at plus 4,500. After that team event, I was like, dude, this guy is so due. And I watched a midweek. I think it was on Saturday or Sunday. They had Austin Eckroat on live in his car after he finished his round, asking him about, like, what do you think? You know, and he's like, dude, playing that team event just seemed to, like, give him a little motivation. And he's like, I hope he wins because they're like buddies. But what's crazy is they live next to each other out in Oak Tree, I think, and then in Oklahoma. But they, you know, Chris went to Oklahoma and Eckroat went to Oklahoma State, but all those guys kind of play together now. The OU and OSU guys play together, but that was pretty cool to see him finally get a win. And man, once that guy gets a little going, it's like in college, man, he just seems to do something.
Yeah. And that's been something that you've always talked about with him, right? Yeah. Is that he's electric. And when he starts feeling success, it completely just spills over and he's all, you know, all in at that point and just dominating, which was pretty crazy. And I remember you texting me what your picks were and everything. And I was like, damn. And as I was laid up and just chilling, watching this stuff, like, I was like, this is crazy. Adam's just on a heater right now. So I would make sure that everybody listens really closely when Adam does his picks tonight, because we've talked about how we go a lot on feel, and I know Adam's a big feel guy when it comes to his picks. So make sure we listen in here closely, like I said, because Adam's got some hot takes again tonight. But
you guys can all be
mad at me for not having a show last week. I unfortunately was not doing very well.
So. I mean, Rory, well, we all kind of, my guess is I figured out why he's playing good, but comes out, I mean, kind of hanging around Thursday, Friday, like playing so-so, and then Saturday showed some signs, and then, geez, Sunday, first hole, we're dead tied. And I've said it 100 times, Xander is not a closer. And he saw Rory, and Rory birdies that first hole, and then they had a good little battle through about 8 holes, and then Rory's just like, "Fuck this!"
When Rory was close to hitting that turn, man, he goes birdie, birdie, eagle. You're like,
He was like one or two down, and then he's two up, and then next thing you know, he's like stepping on his throat, and he's up by 7.
You could tell right away, right when that happened, when Rory just started, when he went birdie, birdie, you could just tell, like, things started to shift, and Xander, it was very apparent, right? That Xander just felt the pressure and folded. I mean, he didn't really fold per se. He wasn't able to score.
I mean,
and Rory just kept scoring birdies and, you know, over and over and over again. It's like, all right, silver.
You could put him, Cantlay, and Colin Morikawa is like the worst guys with leads, like the worst closers on tour by far. Xander just can't seem to get it done. It's like,
but at least those guys have wins.
He gets huge leads, and then the next thing you know, it's like he almost like he gets the lead and he's playing aggressive. And then the last day, it's like he's just like, oh man, I got a lead, I gotta do something. And people,
I mean,
just aren't scared of him because they know he's not gonna do better than par the last day.
The big question now, right, for everybody is Xander ever gonna win a major?
I don't think so.
It's
my backdoor is way into like a British Open or something, but
yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think, and you know, people are like, well, it's hard to say that he's not going to, because, you know, he's top five in the world and, you know, technically he's a superstar, and it's like, well, sometimes those numbers can be a little facetious, right? Like,
yeah,
is he really a superstar? Is he really, he's a star. he's not a, I don't know that he's a superstar, and I love Xander. You know that.
Yeah.
I'm a guy like me who's been very supportive of him, when he starts to falter like this, and it makes you question things a little bit. I mean, I don't know if he's going to, like, he can place in the top 10 a ton, right? And that's what puts him up there in the standings in the world, right? And in the FedEx Cup. But is he ever going to be able to get over the hump and win a major? If he ever wins one major, then all that stuff goes to bed and stays quiet the rest of his career.
Yeah. But, I mean, he's got 7 PGA Tour wins and 1 international win, but he just,
right. I know he has some.
He just makes money, but he's like,
yeah,
he's not,
it's not impressive. You were going to say it, right? It's not impressive.
It's not flashy. It's not like, oh, if I'm 2 or 3 shots back, it's like, dude, I'm not scared of that guy, 'cause he's not going to do anything.
Yeah. Hope you guys are well rested after a week off. I am still in recovery mode myself. But the one thing about me being hung up with getting my appendix taken out was I got to sit around and watch a little golf over the weekend, which is okay.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, Sunday was good. I watched, both tournaments actually weren't very dramatic back nines, because Goddard's just like blowing the field out. Rory's blowing the field out. But watching Rory blow the field out is like, whew, scary, because, I mean, once that guy, we saw in the Netflix thing where he was like, I just don't feel like I can win. He's like, I got to win, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to win again. And it's like, once that guy can win, like, in that kind of fashion, and then comes out today, just this afternoon, that he, has filed for divorce.
Crazy. Now, I want you to enlighten the world here a little bit about what your opinion is on the matter. Your hot take on why he's filed for divorce, because it's good. Yeah, I mean, like it.
I think he's just one of those guys. And it's like, you wonder, maybe he had that shit going on. And once it kind of got out, once he got that off his chest, it was like, okay, that's one less thing I have to worry about. But I was like, I said, my hot take was, he's in a lot of videos with Nelly Korda. Maybe they're hooking up, but that's probably not happening. He's a pretty good dude. I would see him doing something like that.
Well, I think this whole divorce thing, will you bring it up about?
No, he said he wouldn't make any comments about it at all.
But now that it's being public, right? Like, the mental side of things has always been a thing for Rory. We always have known, like, the physical aspects of his game haven't really faltered all that much. It's just been a mental thing for him. And, the British, when he, just couldn't make a putt to save his life, or, he's always got some sort of story like that. And he's just, you could tell he's just mentally frustrated. And when he's not winning or playing the way he wants, so you can just see it on his face. He wears his emotions, right? I think something like this, getting it out of the way now, is maybe going to help him propel it. I mean, don't you think? I mean, he's playing some of the best golf he's been playing in a while, but now he's got that behind him as well, and now he can really focus on some things. And in the same token, the divorce is a big deal, I guess.
He's the kind of guy that like feeds off of momentum, and he's played pretty well coming up. Like, he would always play terrible on Thursday, Friday, and then play really good Saturday, Sunday, but he's already too far behind the eight ball. And now gets a win in a pretty big event. I mean, a premier event against a strong field, minus Scotty, but who's to say? They lapped the field. I mean, they were 7-8 shots ahead of second place or third place, I guess. And I think he's maybe playing the way he played this week could be the only person that could give Scotty a run.
Yeah, it's true.
But, today on the golf, all they were talking about is Jordan Spieth ever going to win again? They feel like, maybe he's past his, past his chances to even get that PGA championship. And this course is not a course that's going to favor Jordan Spieth spraying it all over the fucking map.
No, it's really not. Does Rory have any kids? Yes, he has a 3-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
Her name is Poppy.
Yeah.
So
it's very Irish name.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was just looking at the course layout. I mean, we haven't seen this course since the Ryder Cup. Which was funny, because I think they asked John. There was another hot take today on that, but they asked John Rahm, and he said he had watched it when he was a kid 13 years ago. And he was asking Anthony Kim, he's like, I didn't really like it, but I watched it. I guess he watched it recently again. Cause you know, Anthony Kim, that was the kind of the last time when he just destroyed Sergio. Like Sergio was pretty much at the top of his game and made Sergio look like a punk out there. Like Sergio tried to get a questionable drop and Anthony Kim's like, drop it wherever, you're going to lose the hole, and just walks off. It was like, you know, all time boss move. But, I think then the, John Rahm interview that Aaron Oberholzer almost went through the screen on him. His John Rahm talking about Liv and said, you know, he's like, well, I'm still a PGA Tour member. And they're like, what do you mean? He's like, well, I just found out on TV. I'm suspended, but I'm still a PGA Tour member. And he's like, I'm on Liv. He's like, I want nothing best for the PGA Tour. And he like was saying, you know, like he was trying to not say that he left Liv, like he supported the PGA Tour, but he wasn't wording it right. And dude, Aaron Oberholzer was so pissed off. Like he almost couldn't talk for a minute. He was just like, he's like, if any of the tour guys saw this in the thing, there's no way like they're going to let these Liv guys come back at any point. He was just like super heated. Cause John Rahm's living in a world of denial. Like he doesn't see what's actually happening. It's crazy. Cause he started talking about like, well, I'm going to play these so I can play on the Ryder Cup team and I'm paying my fine for the DP and all this. And it's like, dude, you don't get the big picture here. Like you're not coming back to the tour.
Yeah. And the problem is with a lot of these guys, right? They're so deep inside of their own bubble and they have their people around them 24/7 to guide him in the directions that he needs to go. Right. That they completely lose touch with reality. And their reality is their own reality and there's nothing else. And that's a prime case right there.
Yeah. If you could pull that up, if anybody pulls that up and watch it, like John Rahm is living in complete, you know, his own planet to think that he's just like, he made it sound like he left because him going to Liv was going to bring the two tours together, which completely is not. He's locked in a 3-year contract. Everybody else's contract is up this year.
Right. So like what's going to happen there?
They've got like maybe a handful of guys that are going to still have Liv contracts after this year.
Yeah, Rahm.
They could all just bounce and say, we're going back to the tour. We're going to the DP tour.
Because Rahm's going to be left in the dust, standing there by himself, looking around, like, wait, where did everybody go?
Yeah.
And now he's going to be playing against guys who are barely professional golfers.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it.
I mean, the Liv guys know that they're rusty. Like, they're getting rusty by not playing competitive rounds. And it shows. I mean, besides Bryson maybe is the only one.
I mean Koepka.
Yeah, but in majors he wasn't winning in majors, regular tour events.
Yeah,
but true. Now they're seeing like, okay, we left for 500 mil, well, or 300 mil. How much money Scotty made in the last 2 years? He's like, I think DJ and Koepka are looking at themselves, being like, dude, if we would have stayed on tour with the premier events, they might not have been that much money, but if we played as good as Scotty, we could have the same amount of money and a few more majors.
Or they're seeing how Scotty is dominating. They're like,
I don't want any part of it.
I'm glad that I'm not there.
Yeah. Cause think back, these guys come back. They're not going to be in any of the premier events. They're going to have to play TPC Twin Cities, Barbasol, John Deere, just to get enough points to get in these things.
I mean, yeah, I know. Rahm can still win any of these majors. Right. He could. Yeah. But I mean, he hasn't shown that yet this year. I mean, he's played like shit.
He's super rusty.
Like I don't think that he's acclimated himself yet to playing on Liv and playing three rounds in a weekend and being done by Saturday, right? And then all of a sudden now, hey, I gotta go play in a major against way better competition.
Yeah.
I'm playing against the best guys that I play against every single weekend, and then 60 other dudes who are just as good, if not better, than any of those guys. And then he's gotta play four rounds to really do it. And I mean, he's got some things he needs to change before. And could he contend and win this weekend? Absolutely.
Right? I don't see any of the Liv guys coming back and playing to the level of Rory or, you know, Scotty or some of these other guys. Like, I just don't see it. They're not playing. It's like, if you play with your regular group at your club every week and mm-hmm. you're just kicking the shit out of them, like call that live. And yeah. let's say you play at a club that has a bunch of decent guys. And then these guys like, oh, you're good. You know, like your buddies hype you up, like Taylor Gooch, for example, like, oh, you're awesome. You know, and you should go play. And then you go play in like a mini tour event or like a state open and you just get your ass reamed out. And it's like, dude, like, yeah.
What happened? What?
I'm the best player at my club. And it's like, you're the best player at your club because you're the best player
so
to your competition level.
It's a great analogy. Okay. So here's a great analogy for you. So when I'm caddying during the summer, right, you get all these like rich ass dudes who play at their, you know, prestigious private country club. And they're like, oh yeah, you know, I'm a six at my club. And I'm like, oh, do you play any other courses really? No, we stick to home unless we go on a big yeah. trip. Right. And they're like, yeah, I'm a six, whatever. Well, I'm like, you're probably more of like a 12 to 13 out here.
Right.
And they're like, what are you talking about? Because they're like, yeah, we want to play the blues. We want to go back, you know, towards 7,000 yards. I'm like, dude, I'm not carrying your bags then. If you're going to, yeah. you know what I mean? Like you have no clue. And then they go out and they're like, they try to take too big of a bite off the course at Erin Hills and they get their ass kicked and they shoot a 93. And I'm like, how'd that feel, pal?
But it's when you play against the same guys every week, like, you know, on live, the guys aren't going to shoot 22 under. So mm-hmm. you just get used to playing to your level. Like you never take it to the next level. Whereas the tour every year, we're getting these guys from the Corn Ferry that are killing it. You know, they're struggling on the Corn Ferry for 2 years or they get their card and they can't score. They go to the Corn Ferry and they figure out, oh shit, I got to learn how to shoot 20 under. And then they bring that to the tour. And it's like, we've said it before, like every year, these events are getting 2 to 3 shots deeper. Well,
and now you got 15 year olds that are, you know,
yeah,
shooting under par in PGA Tour events.
It's 4 weeks in a row. We've had high school kids shooting under par and three made cuts and one missed the cut by two the second mm-hmm. week that he played. So yeah, the high school kids are getting good. College yep. kids coming out are, you know, we've seen with Aberg and Gordon Sargent and some of these guys that come out, like they're not scared of these tour guys at all.
They're not a typical rookie. These kids aren't, they're battle tested by the time they get on tour.
Yeah. Cause they get, you know, like Gordon Sargent's going to come out next year in 24 into 24 or 25. He's going to have 30 tour starts. Like he's going to have as many starts as some of these guys have.
Right. You're not a rookie.
Yeah.
You're just a rookie in the fact that like now you can make money.
Right.
Yeah. It's a completely different world. And, you know, some of it is wild and crazy. And I do wish that there was a little bit more of the old with the new, I guess, when it comes to some of that stuff, just because it's almost, I mean, and this is a non-sports thing, whatever, but it's like, man, kids no longer are able to be kids when they're good at something anymore.
Yeah.
That's a sad thing. But at the same time, like, hopefully the kids that are doing it at a high level that they're enjoying it too.
Yeah. I mean, it's elite athletes. Like,
right.
You know, you see it and it's like, why mm-hmm. would this kid want to play high school golf? There's no point in it. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Once you get that good and you're playing AJGA, you've already got your college lined up if you even want to go. And it's like, why would you, you know, why would you want to play high school golf against yeah. be paired with some kid that's shooting 85?
Well, in golf is a much different sport when it comes to stuff like that compared to almost every other sport, yeah. right? Like, I mean, because in high school, you're still playing team golf.
Right.
You know, so you could be one of the best players ever, right? And you're just dominating everything. But then you're number three and number four on your team are putting up 85s. And you're like,
yeah, what the hell?
We're mediocre.
Right.
Like, this is shitty.
Yeah, it's different, but I don't know. These high school kids are getting so good.
Yeah.
Technology, access to equipment. I saw this kid that played last week. What's his name? Blades. Mm-hmm. Click on his profile. He's a Callaway staffer.
Yeah.
At 16 years old. You know, there's no rules anymore.
Yep.
Like these kids can go fly out to Callaway headquarters or to the Kingdom and get fit by TaylorMade or Callaway and have a perfect, you know, have a one-off set of clubs. I mean,
it's a pretty sick name though. Blades Brown.
His parents were definitely thinking ahead.
Yeah, that's 110% a golf name right there.
The kid last week that made the cut on the PGA Tour event plays with the kid the week before. Like they play AJGA events. All three of these kids do. Then you see that, you know, Mel Reed from the LPGA Tour saying she plays with Miles and she asks him for chipping advice. She's an LPGA Tour winner.
Yeah, and he's 15.
Yeah. That's amazing.
So yeah, I mean these kids, you know, like they're hitting like their yardage is right there with everybody else on tour.
Yeah. They're like right in the middle of tour average.
Yeah. Which is nuts.
They just have amazing short games. And I've always said like elite juniors have way better short games because they haven't like gone to the next level to where it's like, you need to chip like this, or you need to do that. They're complete fill players.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are not fill players. Some kids that are just less and less and less and aren't fill players. And those are the kids that really struggle. But a lot of these kids that aren't, you know, big kids like this Miles kid, he's not a big kid. He's got good feel. And that's like, you see Scotty and Jordan, but Jordan's clearly lost that. It's too mechanical now.
Well, yeah. Cause he's trying to change his game to that aspect of it. Right. Where it's just like, dude,
you should have never done anything.
Just go back to where you were when you were successful. And like, I don't know why guys get out of that. I understand there are certain things that there are things that need to change as you go through your career and you get a little bit older, but he's trying to do things now at his age that are just not physically possible.
Right. Justin Thomas is kind of the same way. He's stuck like in instruction, like he's almost in instruction mode. Like I was playing last couple weeks ago and match playing with a guy that's a really good instructor in Des Moines. And we were talking about it. And I was like, you know, we were talking about this one player. I'm not going to say his name, but I was like, you know, when you play with him, it's like he gets stuck in, and he teaches so much. He gets stuck in instruction mode where it's like you hit a bad shot and he's like, I think my hands were too far forward or something like that. And I think a lot of these tour guys get that way where Scotty hits a bad shot and he's like, fuck it, it was a bad shot. And he just moves on.
Yeah.
Where, you know, like you see Jordan hit a bad shot and he's like working on a swing path. It's like, dude, that's for the range. That's not for when you're playing a tournament. And I told, you know, the guy I was playing with was like, you know, this guy we were talking about, I was like, he gets stuck in instruction mode while he's playing. And then all of a sudden it unravels. And he's like, yeah, I used to do that. And he's like, it's really hard to separate between like teaching and playing when you're a teacher, cause you know what causes the problem.
Yeah.
Instead of like, when I go to the range, I'm hitting a hook. It's like, okay, well, we're hitting hooks today, or like hitting fade. Okay. Well, I'm hitting fades today. You know, I feel like that's the way Scotty plays, and like John Daly and Lowry and some of these guys that are just get out there and just do it.
You bring up two names that are just intriguing, right? Because everybody knows who Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth are, and we've seen them, you know, struggle now for the last couple of years. And I think, you know, this is my opinion, but I think that the two of those guys are really struggling with understanding that they're not young anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're really battling that. They're like, but I used to be able to do this. And I used to be able to rely on this part of my game. And it's just not the way it's not, man. And you have to accept that. You have to accept things like that when you get a little bit older. I mean, your game's going to change. It doesn't, your routines don't need to change. Like your swing doesn't necessarily need to change, those things, but just your mentality of it all needs to change.
Yeah. It's like they're chasing distance. Well, then when you do that, you lose the feel.
Mm-hmm.
And like Justin Thomas, like I feel like he's always trying to hit it farther. He's trying to be a long ball hitter and he's trying to be mechanical. And it's like, dude, because he plays a lot with Tiger, and it's like Tiger hits it 40 yards past you because he's three times your size. Mm-hmm. Like his shoulders are wider than your golf bag when you carry it. So
yeah,
it's just a different deal. Like you almost, I think people have, when they're players, have to accept the fact like, hey, you know, this is me, I'm losing. Like I've come to the realization, me myself playing, is that like I'm 46 years old. Like I'm not going to hit as far as I did when I was 36 or 40. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't happen. So I've got to rely on different parts of my game. Like I've got to be better with long irons. I've got to figure that out. I've got to be better putter. You know, I'm not going to, obviously I play with guys that are in their mid 50s that hit it 50 yards past me, but you know, you can only work out so much. You can only get so much equipment. It's like at some point you're just got to come to the realization like, hey, I'm older. I'm going to need a 6 iron when this guy's hitting an 8.
Yeah. And that's fine.
It's an ego thing.
Mentally, you have to get over that. It's a hump you have to get over and you just have to deal with it and be like, well, it doesn't matter what he's doing. It matters what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And if we're going to get to the same place, then, you know, then I need to use this and it is what it is.
Yeah.
We have not talked about anything as far as this weekend yet at all yet, Will. So
yeah,
we're about to jump into the PGA Championship this week. And it's exciting, right? We're back at Valhalla and I'm excited for it. I think the field obviously is great because it always is for a major. And there's some really good young talent in there, but there's also a lot of really good experience. Let's jump into a little bit about the facts of the course, I guess. It's the first time in 10 years that PGA Championship has been here, right? Coming up on the 10-year anniversary of Rory's win. We're looking at a par 71, 7,609 yards. Monstrous course.
It's a fair, though. I mean, PGA setting it up this week, not the tour, not the USGA, not the RNA. So the PGA is really fair with the setups. Like, they're not going to make it, like, so nasty hard that they can't. I was just watching yesterday with the co-owners, two of the four co-owners were talking about the redesign and like green speed. They don't want to, you know, they said maybe 10 to 11. If we get rain, we're probably 9 or 10. I don't know. I was just trying to see if they installed sub air, which I'm sure they did. You don't spend $4 million on an update and not put sub air in. So, but it doesn't say that they did anything.
Yeah. The no cap about the course. I like that. Being a teacher, I hear that stuff like that too much. But anyway,
range finders this week too, because it's a PGA run event, range finders.
Yeah. So people don't be shocked to be seeing people out there, you know, walking the fairways and with their range finders. I think it's great. I think it should be
every week.
It should just be an all day thing. Like let's make the caddy's job a little bit easier, huh?
Yeah. The crazy thing is that there was another crazy thing I heard today, but like, the PGA golf professionals, I think, are the ones that got this done as a PGA professional, we have our section championships every year. You could use range finders. Then you went to national. You couldn't. So guys were going, trying to memorize two different courses. And they're like, look, we'll just go to range finders. And now I think they passed that on, which I think is cool. Cause it gives the club pros the same advantage. You know, being able to take a local caddy, being able to be more comfortable, not having to like step off yardages, be a little more fun. But I think the one person I think tour wise, it gives a huge advantage to is Bryson, because that dude's a numbers guy. And if he knows, like, when you're stepping it off and with those yardage books, you can get within, Smitty would know, you can get within maybe 3 or 4 or 5 yards to the pin if you have a pin sheet and you have it perfect.
But that's if you like, I mean, I've walked that course thousands of times, but those guys
now, you know, exactly what the number is.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It's nice. That's such a big thing, especially because, you know, you're good as the caddy and the player, right? Like, you know, the game of that player who's about to swing inside and out. Like, these guys can literally call their yardage, not just within a couple yards. Exactly.
Because it's crazy. Cause like, you know, you would know, like, when you're stepping it off, if you're 10 or 15 yards left or right of center, like, you're kind of guessing at that point what the yardage is walking it off. Well, now they're going to know exactly from every spot on the course.
Yep.
And, you know, a guy like Bryson, well, he goes out and charts the greens. He knows where the slopes are. Mm-hmm. So he knows, like, that pin's at 112. Well, it's 3 yards. That now I know exactly what the yardage is to that, you know, back shelf or whatever.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, those numbers guys like Bryson are going to be just, they're
oh yeah,
excited. Yeah. Back to some of the facts though about it. This is this course. Okay. Fifth longest course since 2016. Believe that.
Oof.
Fifth longest since in the last 8 years. It's crazy.
What, Bethpage Black maybe.
Yeah.
Whistling Straits probably.
Maybe. Yeah. Looking at, the front nine, a little bit more flatter and wide open, a little bit of a, maybe a Lynx vibe to it. Back nine is more tree lined. Okay. With some different elevation changes there. Some holes with a little bit more, I guess I'm looking for like, maybe like creativity where like you have to kind of get outside of your comfort zone a little bit more on the back nine than you do on the front nine.
Yeah, like 13's got that island green.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a 350 par four with an island green, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, for sure. You know, obviously you need to be able to, if you can bomb it and you can bomb it with some accuracy, you're doing some really good things because you want to try to cut down on your approach shots being long, because there's going to be longer approach shots this weekend. And
yeah,
if you can shave off 25 to 50 yards on your approach shot, and now instead of having 250, you have 220 in, that's a big deal, right?
Looks like the rough's going to be juicy because, I mean, it's raining, but they were talking about like the limestone water they have there, like to water the course, just makes it real super, super lush. And we're in Kentucky, so it hasn't been like cold or not coming out of winter, you know, it's like Southern Hills or whatever. So
mm-hmm. I found some interesting like trends, just because, like I said before, I'm a little bit more on the numbers side than Adam is. I like to look at this stuff because I find it interesting, because I'm a little bit of a dork with that. But 10 of the top 15 that were on the leaderboard in 2014 were in the top 15 for driving distance that week. So it's a big deal, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's you're looking for positive long iron players from 200 plus yards. You want guys who can really scramble from the thick ass rough that they're about to play in. You know,
and you got to hit it both ways too, because we have dog leg left and rights yep. this week.
And you have to be able to putt on fast greens. You're talking 13 plus on the stimp this weekend. So. It's going to be great. Some other betting trends that I found or whatever, that I thought were interesting that I feel like worth sharing. Americans have won each of the last 8 editions of the PGA Championship. How about that? 8 of the last 10 winners had previously finished top 10 at the PGA Championship. And then there was one other one. Let's see here. 7 of the last 10 winners had already won an event this season during the season of their PGA Championship victory. I thought that was a really cool one. And then as far as odds go, the last one I'll give is 6 of the last 7 winners closed with 35-1 odds or shorter, including Brooks Koepka 3 times, 18-1, 10-1, and 20-1. We've also seen, I think there was 2 long shots, yeah, in the last 20 years, which was Phil just a few years ago at 200-1, and Keegan Bradley in 2011 when he was 150-1.
Yeah, they were saying the average like world rank of winner for the PGA Championship is like 35, whereas the other ones is like 15 or 20, 21 at the British. So it opens the field up more.
Yeah.
You know, it's not an Augusta where it's like top 15 in the world are going to win. It could mm-hmm. be somebody from way outside the grid that we don't see, which there was a lot. If you look at the betting odds, like once you get down to say, I mean, you can get good odds. Like if you go to Shane Lowry's at 10,000 to win. So, you know,
yeah,
Adam Scott, it's Danny McCarthy, like the odds just go up and up and up.
Yeah, the odds are crazy on some of those guys for sure. I don't, I mean, I like this board. I like the numbers. I think there's some good ones out there. It was hard to not pick a couple guys that I really wanted to, but also I felt like the numbers were speaking to me a little bit when it came to a couple of these, especially when he got to the top 10s and 20s. And guys that are rolling right now on tour, you know, you can't shy away from that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are just playing out unreal.
Mm-hmm.
Scotty hasn't played in a few weeks, but we've seen it doesn't really matter with that guy.
No, yeah, I don't think so either.
He said when he got back, he practiced really hard. And then once the baby got there, he cut back just a little bit, but
yeah,
he's like, I didn't really need to do anything. So he didn't really need to work on anything. So what's the point, you know? Just keeping it sharp, I guess.
Yeah, it must be rough to not have to just be like, all right, I'm just going to show up to the PGA Championship. You know, I don't really need to work on a whole lot. Just kind of go and do my thing. But
it could be less stressful too, because I mean, he doesn't have to worry about like, what if I get the call? You know, that's just one less thing he has to worry about.
The Scotty Shuffle is always dangerous, baby. Yeah, you bet. Sure. Well, I mean, you got anything else you want to say before we get into our picks here? I mean, the only thing else, like, just that I'd want to say is, you know, just with our last few winners, you have Koepka last year and Justin Thomas the year before, Phil Mickelson the year before that, two guys in the last 3 years that have won that are now pretty obsolete. Colin Morikawa, who you constantly talk shit about, who won in 2020. And then Brooks Koepka was again in 2019, and he was again in 18. Are we about to maybe see a little Brooks Koepka action with a repeat again, like he did in 18, 19?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, he did win the LIV event coming in, but like I said, a LIV event and a major are two different. Like, I almost throw that out. That's like winning your club championship and then going and play in the U.S. Open qualifier. Like, it's a whole different animal.
It is, for sure.
Like, the only thing it does good for him is it's like, oh, I won, but who'd you beat? Like,
yeah,
a bunch of guys who just don't care to be out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, and so you don't get fourth round magic. Like, you don't get guys coming from behind the fourth round.
Yeah, it's true. Fourth round magic's real. We just saw this last weekend.
That was a beat down.
It was.
That was an 8-shot swing, like in 9 holes.
All right. Well, should we jump into our picks here?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I can lead it off then with my top 20. So I actually, you know, we talked about it a little bit already, but Bryson DeChambeau I have at plus 125. I feel like I'm getting plus money here on Bryson, that which just makes sense. I know it's only plus 125, but seriously, I feel like that's stealing money. Another guy that you talked about a little bit who sucks and can't close, but feel like it, you know, he's a majors guy that is always in contention in the top 20, is Patrick Cantlay at plus 150. You know, you need a guy who can work his way around greens, and he's a guy that can do that. And his long iron game has been solid enough to show that he can put himself into position to score. I have Hideki Matsuyama at plus 230. Dude's a wizard from long distance. We just got to make sure that his putter doesn't stay asleep this weekend. If he can putt average this weekend, he's going to be in contention. Mark my words.
Yeah. I mean, he's been playing well. He just hasn't putted well.
Right. And then, we got, the man who just knows how to play in majors, Will Zalatoris, plus 250. He's like shitty everywhere else, but then he comes to a major and just plays well. So I don't know what that's all about. Kind of like the Brooks factor there, I guess. And then I'm going to stay. I know that his streak is a top 25 streak, but I'm going to stay with Alex Noren at plus 320 as a top 20. You know, trying to ride these hotter guys and see if he can't just pop into the top 20 and make himself a little money this weekend.
That's not bad. Yeah, I mean, Noren's been playing good all year. He's just steady.
Yeah.
Top 20 is doable, I think.
I think so too.
Same with Cantlay. So yeah, I kind of have like all over the board. I actually had 6 for the top 20 because I thought of someone at the last minute. But I did put a couple of the PGA guys in there. Just off of Michael Block last year. If you would have bet that guy, you would have won a fortune.
Yeah.
Even for a top 20. Yeah.
His name has been surfacing a little bit as of late again now, obviously.
You know, he went there like and did a recon round earlier in the year and shot 63 from the back tees. So And he kind of plays that ho-hum round. Like, he didn't do very well in the national tournament because he was already in the PGA. So I think he didn't really care to be there, you know?
Yeah.
But he's a gamer when it comes down to it. And he's just goofy enough to, like, you can't tell if he's playing well or not. So
it's true.
But, so the first guy I had was, Ben Poland, who I've played with before when I was in college, but, he's at 25,000 for a top 20. He just won the National Club Pro. He should have won twice before, but he's a gamer. And from what I've heard, that the National Club Pro setup down at the PGA Frisco was crazy hard. It was windy, super rainy. So I think this year we might get a couple guys. So Ben Poland at 25,000, Nikolai Højgaard at 400.
It's a good pick.
He's solid. He's been playing well.
He's been playing very well. I like his game.
Austin Ekrode at 600, because we're kind of at like that traditional style course. To me, off the tee, some of these holes a lot like national. So I thought he might do pretty well here. And he's, you know, see his buddy win last week, might motivate him. And then I Michael Block at 10,000 for a top 20. He wants to get another top 20, so he doesn't have the pressure of like winning a section championship, getting into the national, playing well at national. And then Tiger Woods at 750.
Top 20. I wrote that down because I knew we'd probably hear that name and talk about him a little bit. But I mean,
sitting a good.
I just don't know. Like this is a monster of a course, and this isn't a course where like Augusta where he can like manipulate himself around the course.
Yeah.
Like he's got to go play some golf, man.
Yeah. I think he's got a chance.
We'll see.
And then my last one was cause he got in the last minute in the field, but Chris Goddrup at 600.
Mm-hmm. I knew Goddrup would be your top 20 for you for sure. I wasn't sure on the other ones, but
coming in a hot streak.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
You gotta ride that guy. Like he just feeds off the momentum. So
yeah.
Seen him do it in college so many times. It's like he just needed to get over that hump. Plus, it's like the only guy at his club that hadn't won a tour event yet. So it's like you got to get over the hump. But yeah, so if you don't like any of the club pros, you can put Chris Goddard up in the swap. But I really think Ben Poland might be the best for a top 20 this year.
That'd be wild. I'm always cheering for somebody like that.
Yeah, so it'd be a great story.
Put $2 or $3 on that guy.
Yeah.
All right, top 10. I'm going with Brooks Koepka at +175. The guy really wants to continue to win majors. I mean, that's all he cares about. That's all he's ever cared about, and probably the main reason that he left the PGA Tour, right, is just so he's like, I don't have to deal with any of this other bullshit anymore. I can just come back and play majors, and as long as I continue to play well there and win a couple here and there, like, I'm going to be coming back. So these are his World Series and, you know, his Super Bowls, and he's going to take advantage of them, I think. I do have Ludvig Åberg at +210. He is just crazy good, man. In his 10 events this year, he's got 5 top 10s. So, come on. I mean, you're shooting 50.
He's a machine.
There. He's crazy.
Crazy good long iron player, too.
He's got 8 top 25s. He's got 10 for 10 on cuts made, obviously. He's got 5 top 10s, 2 runners up. Dude is a machine, like you just said. You know, and he's got a runner up at the Masters. So I like him at +210. I like Bryson at +260. You get into these long driving courses, and you know, like you said before, with him being able to have a rangefinder and he can just absolutely dial in number after number after number. He's sitting right now somewhere with a notepad or he's on his laptop and he is just crunching stuff away right now. I have Patrick Cantlay at +350. I thought 350 was a really good number for a guy who just kind of contends in majors all the time. And then I have Matsuyama, Hideki at +550. I really like that number. I actually thought it was going to be for him. I actually thought it was maybe going to get towards over +600 for him. Maybe it was when it first opened up, but 550, I thought for a top 10 for Decky, who's been playing really well this year, is a really good thing. Cause like I said, if he can get his putter going even a little bit, it puts him up at the upper echelon in this field, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, yeah, like you said, Aberg and Bryson, I mean, Bryson's hitting 7 iron and most guys are hitting 4. So that's a huge advantage.
Mm-hmm. And just about control in general with your clubs, man.
Yeah.
Think about how much more control you have with your 7 iron over your 4 iron. Like, it's not even close.
And he's been playing really well all year. I mean, Live Golf and on the tour the events that he's played pretty good. I mean, he can take a deep if he gets putter going.
I agree.
And they'll let him use his launch monitor on the practice screen here. So that'll help him get his speed dialed in. All right. So my top 10, I actually did have Aberg on there. So I had Aberg at 210. I forgot I didn't. And then I also had Cantlay at 350. Just, I didn't think he was good enough for a win, but maybe top 10.
That 350 number is nice for him, though.
Yeah.
Like, it really is. I think that's a really good number for him there. I think that he's.
Yeah. And then I also had Jason Day at 500. He's played really well last week. He's kind of getting it figured out. Seems like he's right on the edge. Maybe a top 10. And then Shane Lowry at 750 coming up. Seems like that team event went, did a lot for a lot of guys, but did the most for him and Rory.
Watch him pop a top 10 here when you pick him. And when I pick his ass, doesn't even make the damn cut.
And then I also had Goddard up at 1600, just 1600.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with Goddard up is he's not accurate with that driver. Last week he sprayed it all over the place, but the guy finds a way to get it done. And then, Bryson at 260 is just, for some reason, I feel like Bryson is the lone lift guy that's really going to kill it this week.
I think it's going to be him or Brooks. It's going to be him or Brooks. One of those two guys is going to be lightning this weekend. I don't know if it's
because Bryson's become more likable for me compared to Brooks. You know, Brooks has been more standoffish, but Bryson is killing it on social media. I mean, he just seems to be more likable. I don't know. I didn't really care for the guy. Meeting him personally a couple times, he just was a douchebag, but he just seems to be like more likable. And then you can get Tiger at 2000 if you want. So if you don't like the Goddard up pick, you can get Tiger at 2000.
Will I bet on everything?
Yeah. Bear with machine gun. No, I did. Gooch is toast. He's going to show his true colors and finish dead last and not make the cut. I just think
that would actually make me chuckle. Oh man, it would make me laugh.
And the thing that'll be the knife in Liv is like Taylor Gooch is dominating the Liv tour and he can't make a cut in a major. I mean, I think he thinks way too highly of himself.
Yeah. Dudes are in their bubble, man. They don't see anything else. They have,
and of course people blast me on social media that are friends with him. And I'm like, you can be a friend with a guy and still think he's a douchebag for his stance on things. Like that's part of being a friend with a guy. Yeah. You can call him out, but I'm not a friend with the guy, but I think his stance on privilege is he's a total douche.
Yeah.
And I'd tell him that to his face. If I saw him, he'd probably punch me, but whatever. I met him. I actually played with him and he was 14 years old and he was a douchebag then. So I can't speak too highly of him since then. I know lots of people that I'm friends with like the guy and are friends with him personally. And one person I know is actually really good friends with him, but he needs to come back to reality because winning on Live Tour is like winning your club championship every week. It just ain't the same.
I can vouch for Adam going to high school with him, junior high school with him, wrestling with him. He would absolutely tell him right to his face.
If he wanted to fight, you know.
It is what it is.
I'm not going to fight the guy. I'm not going to fight the guy, but, you know, he needs to come back to reality.
Yeah, a lot of these guys do, though. Well, Do you want to keep it rolling while you're fired up here and give your outrights
right
away?
I'll give my winners. Yeah, I'll give my winners right now.
I just feel like you're rolling right now.
It's definitely not Taylor Gooch, man. So yeah, you got to pick Rory coming off last week at 750. It's too good of a number. Mm-hmm. Could have got him at 1500 before he won last week.
That's why it's always important, folks, to do your homework, right? Do your homework early. Yeah. Adam is always looking at that stuff. He's been talking about PGA Championship since right after the Masters.
I've already been studying the Masters odds for next year. I think, you know, if you want to get really good odds on the US Open, mm-hmm. you better get them now, because if Rory or Scotty win, you're going to get trash odds. Yep. Like, it's just what it's going to be. Like, if you want your best odds on the US Open for Rory's at 900 right now, so better get him while you can. And then got Scotty at 400, because that seems to be his average odds every week is 400.
Yep.
And then a couple of random picks, because after that the odds get really good, is Jason Day at 6500.
That was an interesting number to me when I saw that.
He's got PGA Championship wins. Like, he's pretty dialed. I mean, he's got his short game looked really, really good last week.
His pants game sucks, but
I mean, bless his heart. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I get it, man. But whatever, dude. You gotta have BDE to wear pants like that. I mean,
it's true.
You know, if Scotty Scheffler came out wearing pants like that and was killing it on tour, everybody'd be buying those.
Everybody would be wearing them. Yep, you're right. I know. That's how the world works.
He basically dresses like Tiger did last time he won at Valhalla.
That's a good point.
Then I got my other guy who does really well in the PGA Championship, Sahith Theegala. Had his coming out party at the PGA Championship. Got beat by Justin Thomas, but he plays really well. I've heard he's maybe fighting an injury or something, but he plays good in the PGA Championships. And then two guys, both at 30,000, Austin Ekroat and Tiger, 30,000. It's worth about each.
30,000, baby.
$5 gets you 1,500. So, you know, you got to almost bet it. I wanted to pick Justin Thomas because we're in Louisville, which he's from that area. But I think it's just too emotional, home course or home type game for him.
All right. Well, for my outrights, I'm starting off right away with Scotty. I mean, he's at plus 400. You know, if you want to put that as a double bet for me, obviously, to make it worthwhile, if you're betting in on a tournament in the PGA, right, on the PGA Tour when Scotty's playing and you're not putting any money on him at this point, it's stupid, right? Because at the very least, you got to win something back if he wins. You know, you're betting on other guys, but like, damn, dude, this guy's so good. He's the best we've seen since Tiger in his prime.
Yeah.
You know? So let's just leave it there. I mean, the guy, you pick this guy to win until he doesn't anymore. And even when he doesn't win, you still pick him. Because then his odds are going to be a little bit better, because he's not coming off a win.
At his winning percentage, you're still winning money if you bet him every week.
Yeah, for sure. Then I have Rory at plus 750. You know, it seems like stars are aligning a little bit for him. Like, he's coming into the PGA Championship, you know, here again, his 10-year anniversary since he's won, and he's playing really good golf, and he seems to be very clear-headed, and things are going the right way. And almost like, you know, last week when he was asked about why he has so much success at that course, he was very secretive. He's like, I'm just doing the things that work for me, and I'm not willing to give those things up to other people right now. And like, that's how you know where he is really on that grind, and he's figuring his life out right now. So, man, Rory at plus 750, I feel like, is even a little bit of a gift. I mean, don't you? Like, that's,
I do. I think it's free money.
As good as he's been playing. And then I have Brooks Koepka at plus 1600. Again, guy is a majors chaser, and he is going to continue to come after that. That's all he ever talks about when he gets interviewed about stuff, right? Majors, 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 majors. That's all that matters.
That's because they don't do interviews on Live. That you see.
It's true. Then I have Oberg at plus 2200. You know, this dude is going to have a big moment. He would have already had it if it wasn't for the Scottie Scheffler at the Masters, finished runner up there. But, if it wasn't Scottie Scheffler, like everybody would have been, and everybody was talking about him after the Masters, but everybody would have been talking about him 100 times more. This guy is an absolute machine. Like Adam said earlier, this guy's a grinder, gets it done, right? Where of course we're driving the ball long and making sure that it's straight is the biggest key. I mean, shine on, man. This guy's going to come out and do his thing. And then I have Bryson at plus 2,800. Like I said before, him or Brooks is going to do some big things. And I think between Koepka, Oberg, and DeChambeau, man, those three guys are going to be a lot of fun to watch this weekend. Probably two of those three guys at the least, if not all three.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm excited for the PGA Championship. Usually I get more excited for the Masters and the US Open, but I don't know. There's just something about this course, this field, how the guys that are in the field are playing as of late. It just feels like it's going to be one of the most competitive big tournaments we've seen in a while. And I can't wait for it.
Yeah. I mean, I hope we don't have a blowout, you know.
I don't think so. I really do. I think it's going to come down. I think there's going to be four guys in contention on Sunday, and it's going to be crazy. We might even see some lead changes, and we might see some guy like shoot a 64 on Sunday and shoot himself all the way up into the top 10. You know, I think that's definitely possible. And I don't know. I'm excited. I'm ready for it. Hopefully it's pans out and it's a great weekend, which it will be, because anytime there's a golf major, it's a great weekend.
Yeah. I mean, and you look at our picks and there's a ton of guys we didn't even talk about, like Homa, Clark, Victor Hovland, Cam Smith, Fleetwood. I mean, it's just a deep, deep field.
Did you see on DraftKings that there are Tiger specials?
Oh yeah.
Tiger Woods, any bogey free round plus 900. There's a little belief in that, I think, because that it's not 10 to 1 or worse, you know? And then it's just hole in one stuff, or Tiger Woods to break the course record at plus 20,000. Like, he's plus 30,000 to win. So what the hell is that?
It's just, you know, how cool would it be if Tiger won, though?
Oh my God. That would be nuts.
Biggest Masters comeback because of the injury he has now. I think it makes it bigger.
Here's heaven, right? The three guys that are in the most contention after eight holes on Sunday are Scotty, Rory, Tiger.
Oh,
Jesus. Could you imagine? Oh my God. There'd be everybody in the world. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about that. Like, everybody in the world would be watching. If you've ever played golf a day in your life, you're watching.
It's like the year when, like I've said it before, but the year Tiger and Phil were paired together at the final round of the Masters, and they charged up the board by shooting like 30 or something like that on the back nine. It was just like fireworks. Like, every shot was perfect. You know,
mm-hmm.
Tiger has history at this course, but course record, I don't know. I mean,
that's crazy.
You say things could never happen, but I mean, you know, they were just talking like, this is that, you know, Liv tries to say like, we sold 20,000 tickets, 200,000 tickets this year for the PGA, sold out record time. The most hospitality area or the most corporate tent of all time for any PGA championship. Like, this is the new standard. So
yeah,
the crazy thing, like I've heard, so you have the Ryder Cup at Hazeltine. That was the standard as far as like hosting, as far as what you need to have. Now this is going to be the new standard according to the PGA. Like, that's so basically when clubs apply, like, we want to have the PGA, it's going to be like, can you do this? Can you do this? And if they can't do it, it's like, sorry, you can get a senior PGA, but you're not getting this. Cause I've heard, you know, when Southern Hills tried to get a Ryder Cup, they said, sorry, you don't have the space. Like, Hazeltine is the new standard, and mm-hmm. You can't do it. So that's, you know, you get a PGA championship. But yeah, it's going to be interesting, but 200,000 people is crazy.
That is nuts.
Liv was bragging about their 50,000 tickets they sold for their last event, or 80,000 they sold for Australia. And they were like, this is a massive event. And it's like, dude, 200,000 people. That's a whole different level.
That's wild.
But like you said, this, you know, go through the list of players, like everybody, yeah, who's fun. Everybody's here.
It's fun.
It's going to be good.
For, I know Eric is going to listen to this tomorrow morning, but end of round one leader, Bryson at 35 to one. Oh. He's a guy that goes low all the time in round one.
You think
that's
of
something to look at, man.
35 Bryson, to one. Max Homa.
Where's Max? Max Homa is 40 to one.
Let me just go through here, because Eric's going to listen. So he'll hear it first before it gets out. And so he'll be texting us on Thursday morning. I like Sepp Straka too for a first round low.
It's, you know, somebody we didn't talk about at all tonight, Victor Hovland.
He's struggling, swing changes.
Do you think he's a guy though that, if he could figure it out a little bit on Thursday, that he, that gets him rolling through the weekend? I mean, he knows how to win. So
yeah, I need to see something. I need to see like the first nine holes just to see, like, I think his biggest problem is getting the driver figured out. Once he gets that, then the rest falls into place. Cause when he was going through that little streak, what they say, he could drive the hole out of Vedona, like just hits a stripe down the middle, like Sepp Straka does. He just laces it right down the center. Aberg,
yeah,
one of the straightest ball hitters out there, just laces it straight. I don't know, man. Depends on the weather, you know. If we get some crazy, you know, luck of the draw weather, we could see anything.
Mm-hmm.
Which
they have some sweet stuff on here, like. They have end of round top 5, end of round top 10, end of round top 20. Like, that's awesome. I wish they would do that for every tournament.
Triple chance wins, double chance is fun.
Yeah. Like if you're betting on DraftKings, which I wish I could, in Wisconsin, I can't.
Get the winner without Scotty Scheffler. So just, yeah, take Scotty out of the field.
Yep. That was a cool one that I saw too, that I liked.
You almost get as good odds with Rory as you do like outright. It's 550. The differential there is a lot better for you.
It is.
You know,
and then they have all their hole props.
It's a plethora of,
love it.
You got live specials, the best live player. Brooks Koepka's at 300. Bryson's at 650. I was just looking through here. I'm just to see if there's any name that popped out. Taylor Gooch. 1200, but I think this could be a dagger for Liv if they don't have guys that finish in the top 10.
I think they will. I think one of those two guys that I mentioned before are going to, but
somebody, yeah, just, I was going to mention it to you the other day, but when they were talking about that, they were like, when these guys are over there on Liv, the relevancy to them in golf, like Liv needs the PGA Tour more than the PGA Tour needs the Liv players. Because the PGA Tour has tons of budding stars and like guys that are really relatable to people and like new names. But it's like when those guys are over there, you almost forget that Cam Smith even plays. Like, yeah, how many, we haven't mentioned Cam Smith the last three majors. It's like,
well, why would we?
Yeah. I mean, but it's like Cam Smith, you almost forgot Tyrrell Hatton, Joaquin Neiman. P. Reed, Phil, you know, P. Reed used to always be like, you'd always talk about that guy, but it's true. You almost forget they're even playing. Dustin Johnson. He doesn't.
P. Reed, I never forget about for the Masters, but everything else you forget about.
But like Dustin, yeah, Johnson, Martin Keimer, mm-hmm, some of these guys, you just, you know, that it's like, they just, you forget about them. And it's like, those guys need the PGA Tour. They need to be in these majors just to get eyes on them.
Yeah.
Cause it's like, what are you going to go see, a live event for the entertainment? Sure. But it's like, yeah, they got cool music entertainment, but it's like at some point you're going to get tired of seeing Dustin Johnson beat, you know, Taylor Gooch and Patrick Reed every week. It's, you
true,
know,
it's true. Hey, before we get out of here tonight, I just want to mention one more thing. It has been 2 months and 4 days. In the last 2 months and 4 days, Scotty Scheffler's only been beat by one man. And I think he did it on purpose.
Steven Yeager.
Yep. That's nuts. I mean, that's nuts. Jesus. He's won four of his last five events, people. This guy's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's like...
It's just nuts looking at his results. First, T2, first, T10, T3, T6, T17, T5. Yikes.
It's like when you look at the year that VJ, David Duval, and Tiger were all playing at the top of their game. And it's like, Tiger win, VJ win, David Duval win. VJ won 9 times that year.
Yeah.
Took Tiger out of number one. He's the, you know, the only person to ever take Tiger off the number one spot. Who's going to take Scotty off there? Rory's the only one that's got a chance. That showed signs of consistency to do it.
I don't think it's going to be anybody this year.
And we're running into kind of Rory's sweet spot here, where we got PGA, RBC, British Open, where he typically dominates at RBC.
Maybe it's Ludwig. Maybe.
Yeah.
I think if anybody's going to like take Scotty off being number one in the world, it's got to be somebody young. No one comes to mind though. Currently,
Haberg's the only one that's came close.
Yeah.
And Wyndham Clark a little bit, but he hasn't done shit in the last couple weeks. So yeah, it'd be interesting. I don't know. We'll see. It should be a good event. I hope it's close, and I hope, you know, the dream scenario with Tiger, Rory, and Scotty battling down the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Jason Day, sprinkle Jason Day in there. Look at vintage. John Daly. I mean,
official world golf rankings, though, like total points. Scotty's got Rory doubled, and Rory's second. He's got him doubled.
Yeah, but two majors clicks that off pretty quick.
It does. You're right.
Two majors and a couple premier events.
Yeah, but the problem is Scotty's just going to continue to like just bang home top threes and the rest of the year. So like, how do you still can't fuck with that.
He's on the next three Ryder Cup teams and they haven't even done points for those. You know, it's like he's going to call and ask if he can just like, okay, well, I'm 1200 points ahead. Can I just carry those next 1200 to the next cycle?
Yeah, it's nuts. You want to look at the FedEx. Yeah, I mean, the FedEx Cup standings, like it's
double, isn't he?
He's at 3.9. Xander's at 1.9. That's insane.
He's doubled up on the guys.
Doubled up. Because then Wyndham's at 1,900. And then Rory's down to 1,675. And Thagala is at 1,528. He is. So you're talking about 2,400 points, right?
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap. 2,400 points.
Which does
you're in fifth, though.
Which is just going to give him a, what, 2 or 3 shot lead going into the tour championship?
Yeah.
Which doesn't mean shit anymore. We've seen come from behind winners the last 3 times.
And Rory's been one of those, right?
Yeah. So. I think, but like we were saying, I think Tiger, if for some reason, if Tiger were to win this week, this would be bigger than that Masters win because he won, what, 3 times going into that Masters. I think he wins. If he were to win, I think he would walk away.
Mm-hmm.
But you say that, but then he's like, okay, well, I only need what, 1 more to get to Jack and then 2 more to beat him. They were just saying,
I don't know if Tiger can just walk away.
They were just saying like, he's got aspirations to play on the senior tour because if he wins a senior PGA championship, that he's tied with Bob Jones for the most USGA championships. That would give him if he wins a senior open, that would give him the most USGA championships in the history at, I think, 10 or 11.
Jeez.
So he's got some goals out there, but yeah. A win with as crippled and busted as he is now would be far top that Masters win.
He's a bionic man right now. Hopefully he can become a machine this weekend.
Hold up, yeah.
We'll see. All right. I'm excited. Good stuff.
Yeah, sounds good.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in, man.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Check us out on Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, all podcast formats. You can follow me at A Miller PGA. You can follow Smitty at C Smith 8 with an F. And if Eric gives us some of those good carrots, we might pop them out there. We try to keep some of those to ourselves. We don't want the odds to go down. So awesome. All right. Well, we'll see you guys next week and let's hope it's a good week. So sounds good, dude. Welcome to the fucking show.
Thanks for listening to Plus Money Golf. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. In the meantime, keep up with the show on Facebook and Instagram at Plus Money Golf and on Twitter at PSR Golf. Until next time.